Hi, welcome to Tamiwa Oluyen Podcast. Thanks for downloading, and as you listen, you are guaranteed an encounter with the Word.
Amen. So pastoring in Ibadan for a while has made me understand that there is something called Ileodu. Praise God. So those who are from the east go to the east, right? Those who are from the north go to the north. Then we that we are from the west, what do? We stay here. Okay. So that means by virtue of fact, everybody here is Yoruba. So I can turn this to Yoruba service. Amen. So just in case your friend has gone to Ileodu or somebody you like in THN, don't worry, they'll come back in January. Amen. So let me quickly share something with us before we get into the atmosphere of worship. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 15. John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 15. John chapter 4, we're taking it from verse 1 to 15. This is an amazing story that literally happened, not a parable. And this was Jesus involved with a Samaritan woman. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Now, Jesus was not the one baptizing. You're going to see that in verse 2. It was the disciples who were baptizing because they wanted to create a similarity between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but who baptized? His disciples. Verse 3. So he left Judea and went once back to Galilee. Verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he had to go to Samaria before he got to Galilee. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired. So that your spiritual does not mean you can't be tired. Are you following me this morning? That you are anointed does not mean that you cannot be what? Tired. We all get tired at some point. As he was there from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about noon. Let's just say like 12 noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, that was the wrongest time to come and draw water. How many of you had have wells in your community or in your compound? How many? Now, you hardly find somebody coming to fetch water in the afternoon. Yes or no? Most fetching of water is always in the morning or in the evening. Because by afternoon, they expect you to be at work. There's a sun. The stress of pulling out the water and all of that stuff, it can be very overwhelming. So this woman came at noon to draw water. This tells me that this is a full housewife who was bored. Are you following me this morning? She was bored. And the only thing she felt she could do was to come and fetch water. Now, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, somebody who is coming to fetch water is not coming with a cup. More than likely, come with a fetcher, a bucket, a bowl, or a bath. I heard the word bath when I got to Ibadan. I don't know. Is that different between a bowl and a bath? Somebody help me this morning. I feel like it's the same thing. But I got to the market that day, I wanted to buy something. He says, "Sir, do you want a bath?" I said, "Bath." Because bath to me is like the bathtub where you take your shower. But it looks like in this part of the Southwest, a bath is the biggest bowl. God will help you. Now, his disciples had gone into town to buy food because Jesus was tired. The disciples were tired. And the only thing that could help their tiredness was food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." I am a believer. My Bible tells me, do not be unequally what? Yoked. With what? But yet your boss at work is an unbeliever. And the day you went for interview, you were begging for employment. I'm going somewhere. It's not saying that you cannot ask for assistance from somebody who is not of the same faith as you, but he's saying do not be yoked. You know what it means by yoke? Do not come in agreement with that person. Now, Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have rather asked him and he will give you what? The living water. Somebody say the living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw and the well is deep. Why would you come to a deep well in the afternoon? You like stress, oh? Some people are just like that. Where can you get this living water from? Verse 12. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Verse 13. Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Verse 14. But whoever drinks the water I give them, you are asking for water, now you have water to give. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Verse 15, the woman said, Sir, you see why I told you that she was bored? See that she was bored or she was frustrated? Or she was tired. He said, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I will not have to keep coming here to do what? More than likely, no, keep verse 16, I'll go there later. More than likely, she was always coming to the well to find some kind of strength. Just like when you find people doing the Naira bet, leaving their house very early in the morning to go and bet their entire life. It's not because, you see, by default, they know they are not going to win. But something just tells them in their subconscious mind that, do you know you can win? I've encountered one before. I'm like, why are you wasting your money on this thing? He said, you never can tell that today might be my lucky day. I don't know if you've encountered those who collect numbers from madmen. How many of you have seen those people collect numbers of madmen? Because something just tells them that today could just be my lucky day. Now I see the reason why the Bible says do not forsake the gatherings of believers. Because what you are looking for, somehow you could find it in that gathering. But if you neglect yourself and say, no, I want to figure out this myself, I've come to realize that those who think they can figure out life by themselves end up losing their life. When you think you're so smart and nobody can see anything to you, you end up being duped about something that rightfully belongs to you. So according to this scripture, I see a woman who, at the moment Jesus said to her, give me this water. Jesus said, I have this water that once you take out of this water, you will never thirst again. She was so interested because why? It was not a desire to keep coming to the well. You heard when she said it to Jesus that this well is deep. So more or less, she was even hurting herself. If you try to draw water from a deep well, you understand what this woman is talking about. It's like you dip the entire fetcher, and by the time you draw it out, only little comes out. What does that tell you? She's wasting time, wasting energy. She's drained. She's frustrated. And that's just the only thing I can give her. When you find a woman who spends 20 hours in a kitchen, and I'm just exaggerating, but spends the longest of hours in the kitchen, it's not that she's trying to cook a good meal. She's avoiding trouble. And when you find a human being spending the longest hour in the bathroom, he's not taking a good shower. He's meditating. Because sometimes you find yourself in this corner of life whereby you just want to be to yourself. And just so that you will not be idle, you just find yourself doing something that by default of life, time is counting. A great man of God said, he said, there is nothing wrong in praying. He said, but after you've prayed, get to work. He said, but when you see somebody spending all their entire hours praying, he's looking for something that is missing. Are you following me this morning? So you see this woman always going to the well, despite the fact that the well is deep. In the course of reading the entire scriptures, you understand what I'm talking about. So what I want to talk about to you is titled Sincere Worship. Somebody say sincere worship. Somebody say sincere worship. The expression of every man is determined by their strength. When you see somebody bubbling and full of life, something is getting them excited. The best of every man is greatly connected to the help from within. When you see somebody that is enjoying the goodness of God, don't be fooled by what you see on the outside. There is a man working behind the scene. Growing up as a child, you would always realize that you find more women in the prayer meeting than men. It's not because men don't know how to pray. It's because some women value their home so much and they are not ready to lose it. So the best of every man is greatly connected to the help from within. That's why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Can we put it up on the screen? Philippians 4:13. What did he say? He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So when you find somebody who the Lord is using to do all manner of things, there is a help behind the scene that is backing. See, he said, I can do all these through him who does, who gives me strength. Find somebody thriving in a place of prayer, there's a strength from behind the scene. Find somebody who is progressing in their business, there's a strength from behind the scene. Find somebody who is prospering in everything they are doing, there is a strength behind the scene. Take away strength from the space of any man, you will see the degree to which weakness can disgrace a man. Because the same man that you see that is helped by God, once his weakness is elevated, can be disgraced. I don't need to bore you with what is going on social media. You see all kinds of things that they say about great men of God. And you know why I laugh about situations like that? It's because the great men of God that you're criticizing are men. One. Two. They are also in the same bracket and shoes as yourself doing the same thing. Take strength out of a man, the strength that comes from God, you will just realize that the same person that you're celebrating is as weak as you are. Oh, that brother is fire-branded. If only you know where he's getting his strength from. I've seen those who will lead people to worship, and behind the scene, they are in pains. You think I'm joking? The great woman of God who passed out of being violently abused in her marriage. When she leads people to worship, the entire church, almost 100-seater capacity, is in tears. But yet after service, she is going back to face upper court and lower court. But she comes to church with the makeup and leads people. And I'm sure while she's seeing people in tears, being connected to their maker in heaven, while she sees people dwelling and enjoying the atmosphere of worship, something within her tells her, I don't know where this strength is coming from. That's why I laugh at people who just think that men of God don't have issues. If only you know where we are getting our strength from. Take away strength from the space of a man. You will see the degree to which weakness can disgrace a man. How do I know this? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians, I want to put it up. This is Paul speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Verse 7 to 10. Now watch this. Or because, let's start from verse 6. Verse 6 so that you understand better. Verse 6. Even if I choose to boast, I will not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. So So sometimes when you hear some men of God say certain things, you're like, why is that man of God just boasting? He's not boasting, he's saying the truth. He's saying the truth. Just like the day Apostle Suleiman said, he went to visit Pastor Adeboye in his office, and Pastor Adeboye came out extremely late. And he was like, what's taking this man of God from coming out? And even his guy said, no, we can't disturb Daddy Gio when he's in that place. And Daddy Gio came out and said, oh, Suleiman, I'm so sorry for keeping you waiting. I was having a conversation with Jeremiah. He asked him, is he Apostle Jeremiah? He said, no, Jeremiah in the Bible. A whole bunch of us will hear that kind of thing and say, he's boasting. Can I be honest with you? Some people have gotten to that level. They have gotten to that level. I can tell the level where some of you are. Some of you are just speaking with Adam. That's why your flesh is still coming out. Somebody is communicating with Jeremiah. You have issues. Remember, there is a God of Jeremiah. I said it before in this house. The Bible says there is a blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. What does that tell you if you are really a very good student of the word? That means the blood of Abel also speaks. That means there is those who can consult the God of Abel and he answers. That's why they can blow powder from you from Egypt and you will come all the way from Canada. And you know the amazing thing, sir, this thing looks like movie. More than likely, the person they blow powder for is very broke in Canada. But how the person will enter the plane with ticket, how the person will pay for, in fact, more than likely, you will come in the best aircraft. And you ask yourself, I don't know how I got to Lagos. You didn't jump down from Canada. You entered the plane. Powder. He says, even if I choose to boast, I will not be a fool because I'll be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Verse 7. Watch this. Or because of these surpassing great revelations. So one of the things that gets Paul excited is the magnitude of revelation he had. So never joke with a man that is filled with revelations. Are you following me this morning? Never joke with somebody who has a revelation of what they are doing. I used to have issues with people rolling on the floor. I'm like, what rubbish? Until I understood and I had a revelation. Some of you in the place of worship this morning, you would have to roll. You would have to kneel. You would have to prostrate. That's the height of worship, prostrating in his presence. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. So Paul, despite the magnitude of revelation you had, there was so much he wanted to do with that revelation, but the devil struck him with a thorn in his flesh. That's weakness. A messenger of Satan to what? To torment me. Verse 8. 3 times, you see that? I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Are you in these shoes this morning? That the things you're dealing with, you have pleaded several times for God to take it away. Verse 9. But he said to me, what did he say to him? My grace, say it loud, let's say it together. My grace is what? Let's say it one more time. My grace is what? For by my power, but my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may what? May rest on me. Verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insult. I delight in hardship. I delight in persecution. I delight in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. I put it to you again this morning. If you permit life to take away strength from you, the height of what weaknesses bring is disgrace. I will leave the church and get my bearing together. Church is taking so much from me. If only you know that that church has been your protection all this while. I'll stop praying and just be myself, live my normal life. I was talking to someone in the course of the week, and the person said to me, he said, ah, Pastor, my plan for 2024 is so different. I said, please share with me. He said, Pastor, I am going to be intentional about savings. I said, savings? How do you mean? He said, I'm going to save my money. Ah, enough of helping people. And I laughed. The person said, Pastor, why are you laughing? I said, because saving does not bring prosperity. He said, no, Pastor, when I save, then I can plant. Ah, the Bible talked about it, I think somewhere in the book of John. He said, this man saved everything. And the Lord said to him, he said, what if you don't have the life to enjoy it? My mom was talking to myself and my wife yesterday night. And she said, my wife called her at the point she was watching a video on YouTube of somebody's funeral service. And I asked her, I said, who's the person? She said, the person is a family member. And she said, the person died. And before the person died, the person lost his wife. No, the person lost the only child they had. Now, this is somebody in his 60s. Lost the only child. And out of depression, the wife also too died. So the man locked out himself of life. He was not relating with anybody. And he also died. The next thing my mom said was, at that point, I didn't want to ask any more questions. My mom said, you will not believe that both the husband and wife are medical doctors. You cannot be a medical doctor in the U.S. and be broke. There are some professions that brokenness is far away from them. Have you ever heard a governor say, I'm broke? Have you heard a president say, I'm broke? A medical doctor by default in the U.S., even if you are going to work once a day, once a week, is money. Now, the wife is dead. The child is gone. Now, the man is gone. I asked my mom, I said, did he have a will? She said, she doesn't know. By default, you know what happens? The U.S. takes over the entire properties and the wealth, and they do whatever they decide to do with it. I said to my mom, I said, what if he has a child somewhere? My mom said, I don't know, Tomoa. I don't know. Oh, I'll keep to myself. Enough. I did church in 2023. What came out for me? If only you knew that church elongated your life. If only you knew. One of the things I'm praying for, and I'm like, Lord, if only you can just show me a little bit of the script of the enemy. Let me even see what it looks like. If the Lord opens your eyes to see the script of the enemy, your prayer language will change. Your worship atmosphere will change. Because the script of the enemy is not anywhere good. Are you hearing me this morning? The script of the enemy is what? Is not anywhere good. In case some of you don't know, let me help you this morning at the sound of my voice. Get this right. The plan of the enemy is not that you die. No. That's the mistake many of you make. You think that, oh, everyone, that every faction against me that wants me to die. The enemy does not want you to die. Let me say it in Yoruba because I know we are from the West and that's why you didn't go for Eledo. Yoruba will say, Ota fe korare. Have you heard that word before? It just wants your life to be what? Miserable. Your death is nothing to him. Have you heard when they say that the enemy has finished this one? Is a walking corpse. How many of you have heard that before? That's the plan of the enemy. If you want to kill me, why do you have to go through liver? Why do you have to go through kidney? Why do you have to go through migraine? Why do you have to go through headache? Why do you have to go through divorce? Why do you have to go through separation? Why do you have to go through hardship? Oh God, if you want to kill me, just put me to sleep. The Lord is helping somebody this morning. I said the Lord is helping somebody this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 30 to 31. Isaiah 40 verse 30 to 31. I want to show you something there. I want to show you something there so I can go really fast. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 verse 30 to 31. It says, even the youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. Verse 31. Watch this. It says, but those who hope in what? Now you want to hope in your thoughts. You want to hope in your might. You want to hope in your reasoning. He said, those who hope in the Lord, he does what? He renews their strength. They soar on wings like eagles. They run and do not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. So there is a walk that can get you to faint. There is a run. There is a race that can get you weary. If you're taking note, write this. The biggest disadvantage in life is to be surrounded with a pool that lacks water. The biggest disadvantage in life is to be surrounded with a pool that lacks water. When you approach people, let me help you according to the woman or the word that we read. When you approach people and they have more than one reason to counter your request, that's to let you know from there that something is wrong. Something is wrong. Somebody that wants to help you will not give you reasons for you to relate with what they are passing through. Are we communicating this morning? For example, you ask your uncle for money, and the next thing you hear from your uncle is, country, the economy is bad. Once you hear that statement, don't go further to ask your request. Don't go further. I had a friend one time that I communicated with, and I needed some kind of assistance from the person. The person was like, Tom, what was it? I'm driving. What is it? Can you text me? I said, let me say it now. And I said, what is it? It was like, I said, please, I need some financial assistance. He said, how much? I said the amount. He said, okay, give me 5 minutes. Once I'm done driving, I'll send it to you. Now, that's somebody who is in a good capacity to help. Once you ask a friend for something and they say, how much? That means they have. The person says, hello, I can't hear you. I wish you called me last week. Oh, see, once you start hearing all those excuses, don't bother. I know these things. Even anyone that would have approached me for financial assistance, you would know. If I want to help you, I will not let you say everything you want to say. The next thing I'm asking you is, how much? Because I'm ready to help at that point. But if I allow you to download the entire story, if I allow you to talk, then you're not like, Pastor, that's why I came to you. And me too, what do? I take you to God. Because somebody that wants to help will not even wait for you to pour all of these things out. The biggest disadvantage in life is to be surrounded with a pool that lacks water. The biggest disadvantage in life also is to be surrounded with a rule that lacks favor. Any rule that comes your way, any instruction that comes your way, any revelation that comes your way should come with favor. Let me help somebody who is passionate about ministry. Listen and listen close. This is my little 2 cents I can share with you. If a simple revelation is putting you inside trouble, I beg of you, calm down. Did you hear what I said this morning? Because what revelation is actually supposed to do is to elevate you. So if revelation is bringing you under consistent disgrace, under consistent hardship and torture, that's to tell you, calm down. Just like Paul. Despite the revelation he had, he discovered alongside that there's a thorn in my flesh. Because revelation is supposed to carry you and get you to fly and soar high. But you realize that, no, this thing is getting me to go through pains and hardship. That's a point for you to just calm down. You are in the biggest disadvantage of your life if you are surrounded with a truth that lacks freedom. Every truth is supposed to get you free. And I put it to you again this morning that you are the end of your life if you are surrounded with a blessing that lacks peace. What is the point of having a blessing that you cannot sleep? That's why they comfort women who lose their children at childbirth. That maybe it's this child that will kill you. That's why God took it away. That's the best consolation you can give that person at that point. But why would you want to embrace a blessing that will take away peace from you? There's a stupid ritual that they do in Ijebu side and Sagam from where I come from, where they will tell you to go and buy a chicken. Some of you might need to be careful of the chicken you buy this December. Hopefully it's not the chicken that they have used in Sagam. They say buy chicken and buy maize. They'll say pour all the maize on the floor. That the number of maize that the chicken takes is the numbers of years you would have money. Anybody who has studied agricultural science and animal husbandry or whatever it is, you cannot force an animal to eat. So in your mind, you're excited. This chicken has not eaten. In fact, you know the funny thing? They tell you to starve the chicken before coming. So you and the chicken gets there. Chicken to ogbon. Chicken that you have starved for days. You think it does not know what the end of his life will be? The chicken will first dance around the maze. Dance. You will not be begging your elder. The chicken looks at you again. Walks around it. I say, George. Then the chicken by default takes four. You are done. That's case closed. So you get wealth for 4 years. And almost at the end of the fourth year. In fact, in the midst of that 4 years, I can guarantee you can't have peace. Because you are looking at your life and say, wait, I'm 32. Four. So I'll die at 36. At that point, before the second year reaches, you are looking for everything to elongate that 4 years. And the more you keep searching, the more you keep getting into more troubles. So it's the biggest disadvantage in life to be surrounded with a blessing that lacks peace. Let's read the John 4, chapter 15. John chapter 4, verse 15. John 4, verse 15. Are you getting something this morning? John 4, verse 15 to 18. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't thirst again and have to keep coming here to draw water." Verse 16. He told her, what did he tell her? He said, "Go and call your what? Your husband and come back." The reason why he said, "Go and call your husband and come back," is because if truly she had a husband in the house, she would not be at the well. If you find a married woman on the street at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., she does not have a home. Now, I'm not talking about traffic or you are coming from work. Like, she's walking helplessly around that time. Please, look for a church and tell her to go and sleep there. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. She said, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right, though. When you say you have no husband, not that I know you have no husband, when you say..." Watch this in verse 18. "The fact is," Jesus knows the lie. "The fact is, you have had how many before? Five. And the man," you see, the Bible did not even refer to the man as husband. It referred to him as what? Man. He said, "The man you now have is not even your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet." Failure is attributed to lack of skills. Frustration is attributed to lack of strength. From what I have read to you now, you can tell that the woman is frustrated. She has had five before that time. And now the one she is with, she's not even referring to him as husband. She's referring to him as man. What I'm about to say is a joke before somebody goes home and changes for their parent. Once your mom has a difficulty saying, "My love, darling, sweetheart," and the only thing you're hearing is, "Daddy," something is wrong. They have to beg your mom. And say, "His family portrait, stand beside that." She's like, "No, let him take his own. I'll take my own." Something is wrong. Five husbands. Now she has settled with life that this one is not an husband. This one is a what? It's a man. Frustration is inevitable when your winning tools turns out to be tormenting tools. Frustration is inevitable when life becomes so unbearable and situations around you are unpleasant. I can tell from this scripture that this woman was frustrated. She agreed within herself that "I've had five husbands before now, but the one I have now is not a husband, is a man." One of the things you always see in somebody that is frustrated is that they no longer have value for sincerity. Because life already tells me that by culture, the man she's living with based on their tradition is her husband, but she's not seeing him as that. She has no value for sincerity. A frustrated man has no value for the truth. A frustrated man has no value for instructions. And if I'm going to put it to you this morning, the real definition of worship is made up of sincerity, truth, and instructions. The Father seeketh true worshipers, though worship in what? In spirit and in truth. So the healing process for a frustrated person is when sincere words are spoken, and when the truth is honored and instructions are followed. And you'll see that in verse 19. Let's start from verse 9. Okay, let's take it from verse 20. He said, our ancestors worshipped on these mountains, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Now, verse 21. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Now, verse 22. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Verse 23. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. He's seeking for those who can be sincere with their words. Father, at this point of my life, I admit I am weak. Then strength comes. Father, at this point of my life, I admit that I cannot do this on my own. Then help comes. Father, I admit at this point, I do not know the way to go. Then instruction comes. Father, I admit at this point that I've been hiding and running away from you. Then your freedom comes. Stop running away from those three factors in the place of worship. Sincerity, the truth, and instruction. Somebody say sincerity. Somebody say truth. Somebody shout instructions. If you are not sincere in the place of worship, it's a waste of time. I was watching a video on Instagram some days back, and somebody talked about this great minister of the gospel who sang this very popular song. Jesus is calling my name. Oh, if you call my name, I will answer a billion times. Now, the great minister of God, the great man of God said, he said, not every worship song is for you. And that's the truth. He called you 3 a.m. You are snoring. He called you at 6. Can I shock you? That's the time that the sweet is more sweet. That early morning hour, that's when the sleep enters another gear. And if you are not careful, even alarm cannot wake you up. Somebody who sang that song, I said, if you call me, I'll answer a billion times. Be sincere with yourself. He's been calling you. How many times did you answer? Another great man of God said, he said, as powerful as Dunsio Yekon is, please stop singing all his songs. When I saw that video, I said, what's this one saying? Are you trying to dissuade people? So I went further to watch the video, and it was right. Dunsio Yekon sings from the place of revelation. If you have not gotten to that level, you'll kill yourself. You'll kill yourself. For somebody to say, I'll be here worshiping till the end of my days, he lost a wife. All you lost was phone, and you said you're not coming to church. All you lost was phone, just phone. So I'm not coming to church. Somebody lost their wife. Can I shock you with this? I read the story of how he lost his wife. I was told that that same weekend, he had a worship concert. Some of you will lose something and you will not be right in church. Pastor, can you give me and my family this moment? Say, nothing should... I used to see all that stuff. I used to laugh. I'm like, why do people derive so much attention when it comes to fleshy and material things as it were when it comes to moment of death? Somebody posted on Facebook. I have to tell everybody, I said, I'm really sure the person who died is not really paying this. This person is just looking for attention. Some people just look for attention. Say, can't the church understand that I lost my dad? Nobody should call me. Yet they are looking for sympathy. A friend of mine lost the father, and she said, she posted on her status, she said, nobody should call me for the next few months. Allow me to grieve. I'm like, are we going to stop you from grieving? You don't need to tell us that. Are we going to stop you? We're not going to stop you from grieving. But you telling us in advance, they are seeking for attention. If you think I'm joking about this, and I say, ah, Pastor, you have not been there. I've lost my father before. The only one I have. So I understand these things. You all have gone for funeral services. Everybody's crying in the church. Crying when they are dipping the coffin. Some people want to jump with the coffin. So that you want to know, in fact, you know the worst part is when they are looking at those who are holding and say, you only read that to me, more. You will see him. Yes, it's gone. Watch when they take 7 steps from where they've gone to bury the person and let them enter reception. The next thing you are seeing is the same person that was shouting and crying. Omoloku, she's fighting. Hey, this servant, hey, this. You have to be sincere with yourself. If you need help, admit that you need help. Stop trying to play the sympathy games on people. Stop seeking for attention. If you are frustrated, let heaven and earth know that you are frustrated. Stop trying to exert that frustration on people in the place of anger. That was one of the reasons why I don't like taking public transport. And I've not taken one in years. I'd rather do a private cab. Because I just realized that everybody taking a public transport, they are frustrated. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody. That's why you see some big boys and big girls, they will not do police, they rather do bike. Because if you're a bike man and you do too much, they will reset your destiny from behind. But in a taxi, in a bus, going on a trip, everybody is frustrated. So you cannot even be yourself. If you pick a phone call in a public transport, you are disturbing somebody. You're disturbing somebody. Auntie, come on in. Ah, you are disturbing somebody. I know these things. I grew up here, so I understand these things. People are just frustrated. And sometimes you even see it in the place of prayers. I've been to several prayer meetings. I can tell who is frustrated and who really understands the prayer point. Somebody is standing by your side and not praying like you expect them to pray. And you begin to get angry in your spirit. Is it your prayer point? So just stand and say, Auntie, hey, Badurani, what is your own? That thing used to annoy me a lot growing up, where ushers will come and meet you and say, you are not praying well. How else do you want me to pray well? Having experienced all that we've experienced in the space of 2023, you have a choice to either talk about the problems or praise the awesome power of God. That's why Psalm 34 verse 1, look at what Psalm 34 verse 1 says. I want to show you amazing, popular scripture. You should also know it. If you're a worshiper in this house, you know it. Psalm 34 verse 1. Can you please put it up on the screen, please? I don't want to quote it. It says, I would extol the Lord at what? At all times. Not sometimes. Not all times. At what? All times. What will be on my lips? Is praise. Not your problems. I can tell the woman at the well was ready to japa if she got that water. If you think I'm joking, continue reading that scripture. You will see that even after Jesus ministered to her, she didn't go back to her house. She went to the city. even by the verdict of how Jesus operates his miracle, he will tell you, go and tell your household. This one left the household and went to the city. Why? Because the man that is in the house is not husband, he's man. More than likely, that girl has frustrated hell out of her. You know, when a man looks at her and says, you will not kill me like the way you killed your 5 husband. That's enough to frustrate a woman. That's enough. Let me close quickly with this. When you give God sincere worship, you ignite a connection with divinity and you release the presence of God. And I think that's what we're going to be doing here this morning as we close our service. Sincere worship downloads the strength of God into the space of the weak. I can bet it with each and every one of us. Many of us, our eyes have seen a lot in 2023. And something just tells you, what is left? What is left? Just when we were jubilating last week that chicken is 12,000, now they said it's 20. I can bet it will be by tomorrow, December 25, it will be on another level. Don't be shocked when eggs are scarce because people have to take another turn. Just when it looks like you've complained all you had to complain, another thing sets it. And that's what you see in this country. Just when you are protesting for somebody, something else steps in. Sincere worship renovates every pit into a platform, confirming a blessing. I know life could have placed you in a pit that you don't deserve. But if you give God sincere worship, he can convert that pit into a platform. And when I'm talking about sincere worship, your worship is filled with sincerity, is filled with truth, and you are ready to obtain an instruction. Never you step out of the place of worship without receiving an instruction. And when I'm talking about instruction, it's more than likely not what we are expecting to hear. Many of you enter the atmosphere of worship predicting what you want God to say. So when it looks like he's saying something else different, you're like, no, I need to come and do this worship again. My father has not spoken. He has spoken. Sincere worship turns water to wine and keeps the event going. When you look at some people who are in the same organization with you and you're asking the person, say, with the fact that they've not paid our salary for 6 months, how did you build a house? It's because there was a God he was sincere with that was able to turn his water into wine. And I declare over somebody this morning, the Lord is turning your water into wine. I declare under this prophetic atmosphere, the Lord is turning your water into wine. What brought about the turning of the water into wine was what Mary said. Whatever he tells you to do, what do? Just do it. As you worship this morning, whatever he tells you to do, what do? Just do it. Sincere worship crushes the wall of any kind of unpleasant situation. Whatever it is you're dealing with, when you give him sincere worship and you are sincere, it crushes the walls of unpleasant situation. Another thing that sincere worship does is that it brings about empowerment and it secures for you an elevation. It gets you empowered. It gets you empowered. I was listening to Pastor Jimmy Odukoya, one video that he posted on his platform, and he said when they just lost their mom, that their father will carry them upstairs and they will have devotion. And he was always singing this song. In fact, when he started singing that song just got boiling within my spirit. And that song is that rock, that rock that cannot fail. Let me hide in you. Somebody who lost a wife at that time of ministry. And yet you gather up your 3 children and you are singing such a powerful song like that. Some of you don't know how powerful some songs are until life eats you. Just like the song I sang this morning, I have seen the Lord's goodness. Know that I'm standing here December 24. I can bet it with you is the Lord's goodness. You need to understand these things. We really need to understand these things. Some songs are not just mere words. They are confession. They are truthful words. If you've not seen the Lord's goodness, what else have you seen?
Whatever have you seen?
That's why I'm free to say this to you. Do not let anybody take your worship song away from you. It's only you that understand it, how best you sing it. There's this song that after the Monday prayer, the No More Tears we had. By the way, we're having No More Tears tomorrow. So you come here this in the morning, 6:30 to 7:30 to pray before you can go home and be cutting your chicken. Somebody give a clap offering to that. Okay. Praise God. So we're done with No More Tears. I think it was last Monday or thereabout. And they played this powerful worship song from the media. And the song goes like this. It says, Agbara Olorun po, Agbara Olorun po, O lana sori okun, O di Jericho. It was when I got home and I was having my quiet time that that song made sense to me. I interpreted it. I didn't first sing it in English. I interpreted it in English. That the power of God is mighty and strong. He parted the Red Sea and brought down the walls of Jericho. You will not understand it. Maybe it's when you are married you understand these things. Just like when a pastor said to me when I was in a teenager's church, he said, you will not understand life until you are married. And it's the truth. It's the truth. Our marriage will make you understand life. It will make you understand life. Lastly, sincere worship provokes a wind of change and causes the heavens over your life to be open. So just in case your heaven is not open yet, it's because you are not yet sincere. And sincerity is not to your neighbor's advantage, but for your advantage. As we worship God this morning in the closing of the service, I beg of you, be sincere with yourself. Like I already tell you, I don't know how to cajole people. Just the same way you are seeking the presence of the Father is the same way the pastor too is seeking the presence of the Father. Be sincere. Every song that is raised on this altar this morning, be sincere. Be sincere. I think many of us have gotten so used to technology that we no longer value some things. And I'll explain it in a moment. When you see a life miracle in a service, you will rededicate your life to Christ. Can I get an amen? You will. The day I saw a life miracle at Apostle Johnson Suleiman's program, I rededicated my life to Christ. I've shared it before in this house. They brought a woman who could not stand up on a wheelchair for years. The daughter said, we heard about this program, is why we came. They were creating a scene at the back. Apostle Suleiman walked down from the stage and went to her and said, what's going on here? You know how violent that man can be. He said, what's going on here? He said, I brought my mother here. She must walk. He said, I'm not the one that will do it. It's God. He said, no, she must walk. It's why we came. They put a mic to the woman. The woman said, yes, I came here because they told me I will walk. Ah! They tried to lift her. They narrated everything. Nothing happened. Apostle Suleiman said, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. Nothing happened. They would drag her. You could see pains all over the woman. And he told her, he said, Mama, sit down, sit down. Because you can't say mommy in the US. Said, Mama, sit down. She sat. They were raising a worship song. I believe at that time they were singing Joe Praise song. You are the great and mighty God, greatly to be praised. And Apostle Suleiman, all of us were standing up. And I was looking. And I said, God, if this man of God fumbles here today, every one of us that is a Christian is in trouble. Because this is America, this is not Nigeria, where you can say when you get home, the miracle will happen. America does not believe in that. If you cannot do it now, forget it. You see the woman that when she gets home, she'll start smoking, that God will visit? Then he sat with her. And the next thing he said, and I bet it with you, I'd never forget that day in my entire life. I've never seen that magnitude of tears coming out my face. Apostle Suleiman sat with her and said to himself, he said, worship team, continue singing. Everybody keep praying. And he said, I will not stand up from this chair until this woman stands up. I started crying. Was I crying for the man of God? No. Was I crying for the woman? No. I'm like, God, I have not seen your power before, but this man has put us in trouble. You had better show up. All of us started praying. Solomon was on that chair speaking in tongues. He said, "Ma, do you feel like standing up?" The woman said, "No." Ha! I was in tears. I was crying. I would cry to the point that I would bend down. I would do. I say, "God, what kind of rubbish?" Because I was like, "God." In fact, we left that meeting and I said to myself, I said, "I think it's because of me." God answered that prayer. And when the woman stood up and started walking, come and see how the entire atmosphere changed. If you had watched this thing on YouTube, it will not carry weight, because at the time you are watching it, you are cutting onions. Or you are busy in the restroom doing something. I was there live. A boy who was dead at Redemption Camp, while Pastor Adeboye mounted the stage, this boy came back to life, and they brought the boy to the altar to meet Pastor Adeboye, and Pastor Adeboye could not preach anymore. There are some things that will happen in the atmosphere of worship today that will bring about strength into your mortal bodies in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to somebody here this morning. Re-engage this worship atmosphere with the right words. With the right words. Be sincere. You know what you are lacking. You know what you need desperately. You know where you want God to show up. And you would experience it. You experience it. I just want you to be sincere. I want you to be sincere. That's a powerful song that I love so much. It says, "There is no other argument. There is no other plea. It is enough that Jesus went and that he died for me." If your life has not gone to that point where you understand that he died for you, why are you still living? If you have not gotten to that point that is your healer, you will understand health. It says, "I give strength to the weak." In this place of worship this morning, you must position yourself as one who is weak. Be on your feet this morning. Be on your feet this morning.
We believe you have been blessed by this audio podcast, and we never like to close without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you say this prayer with me? "Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart today, and I am making you the Lord of my life. Amen." Congrats! You are now a child of God. Thank you for listening and downloading Tamiwa Oluwen Podcast. We want to take over nations for Christ. Partner with us today by visiting www.heavennation.org/donate. Kindly subscribe to get update of new messages and share with your friends and families. We love you and we celebrate you.